All right. Good little smile to get us going. It's so very great to see everyone this evening, and I hope you had a good day, a good warm day, and that you're going to do your best to stay cool the remainder of this week. It's getting a little bit toasty, but that's okay. It helps us appreciate the cool weather a little bit better. And also want to say the visitors here, we're thankful that you're here. It's an encouragement that you chose to be here with us. I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Now, I got to throw this out of here for this lesson. I was going to approach, sometimes as a preacher, you prepare a lesson and you're like, man, I think that's a good lesson. And then the closer you get to the time you're going to deliver the lesson, you're like, I don't think that's a good lesson. I don't think I put my points together in transitions, you know, that kind of preacher stuff. So now I'm kind of stuck with the PowerPoint we have. I'm going to stay with the same PowerPoint I made, but I'm just going to kind of more go with the flow than what I originally planned. So kind of bear with me on this. As we talk about wisdom, of course, our theme for the year is walking worthy. And listen, we're not going to walk worthy unless we have the wisdom that God offers, right? And wisdom is the application of knowledge. So godly wisdom is the application of godly knowledge. But I want you to think about something here first as we get going. I'm sure we all want security, right? I think we'd all agree we want physical and financial and spiritual security, right? You know, physical security, you're going to lock your door at night. Maybe keep a little something in the nightstand in case something goes bump in the night, right? You take steps for security. Financial security, right? You're going to do your best to plan for the future. And in a similar way, spiritual security, right, is no different, right? And this is basically what I want to examine this evening. We're going to be looking mainly in Proverbs chapter 1. I want you to see there's a how-to manual concerning wisdom. And the pursuit of wisdom has to define us, right? The pursuit of the application of God's knowledge, right? And that needs to define us, because if you want security, you know, to have that spiritual security, it's all about what we do with wisdom. And so just starting off here, as part of our scripture reading, chapter 1 verse 7 of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, Mark Twain said, and I love Mark Twain, this quote really, really fits here. He said, quote, "The perfection of wisdom and the end of true philosophy is to proportion our wants to our possessions, our ambitions to our capacities. We will then be a happy and virtuous people." And so looking at wisdom here, talking about our pursuit of wisdom that and how God's wisdom brings security, we kind of break down this text here in Proverbs chapter 1. And also understand a few things about Proverbs I think is very interesting. I want to see here in a moment how it parallels with this passage that you see there in Ephesians chapter 5. But Proverbs was, you know, of course, written by Solomon. And it was written, it seems, primarily to a wealthy class of youth, the original audience, on how to live their lives. And so it's a compilation of sayings intended to direct life by two choices, wise or foolish. Kind of talked about that this morning in the lesson. And that phrase, translations, you know, are going to differ a little bit. To the wise is mentioned 26 times, or knowledge, understanding, you see that 73 times. And to the foolish person, which is mentioned 26 times, you know, directly, or to self or self-confidence 50 times. And so you see this contrast here. And so Proverbs teaches what the fool is. The fool is simple and naive and gullible, easily led astray, right? And this is, of course, opposite of what we're seeking to walk worthy, right, with our theme for the year. And, you know, so what's also interesting is the Hebrew word for fool literally translates into English as evil. Right, so it's the same thing that we would think someone's evil, well, they're foolish, And, you know, it's a person devoid of knowledge or common sense or self-discipline or moral character. And I think it's good to understand that when we're seeking the opposite of that, right? Wisdom. And, you know, in our culture today, right, if you don't believe me, just get on social media for more than a couple minutes. This is something that our culture absolutely lacks, wisdom, right? And that's the thing about social media. You know, to me, it's a great display of who can be the most foolish, right? And at least, you know, the few times I actually look at social media, I rarely look at Facebook anymore because it hurts my brain. And it's filled with people I love, and most of the stuff is okay, but, you know, you keep going, you're going to get, right, displays of foolishness. You know, people that think they're wise in their own eyes, but they're displaying foolishness. And so my point is our culture is filled with foolishness. So this passage here, I want us to note in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Now I'm reading out of the New King James. Not as unwise, but as wise, making most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so this carries the same thought. And remember, the book of Ephesians can rightfully be called the book of compliance. That's a great way to remember this book. Right, how we become compliant to Christ and his church. And in that, he's beginning to make this summary statement here in Ephesians chapter 5. Right, he talks about these two paths that we mentioned this morning from Matthew 7. You know, these two choices here, and we need to be careful how we walk. You've got the unwise walk and you've got the wise walk. Right, you've got the wise walk and the evil and the foolish walk. Be careful. Right, this carries a sense of urgency. This is a time-sensitive matter. Be careful how you walk. Choose wisely. And so this is going to mirror a lot what we see in the book of Proverbs. So back here in Proverbs, right, when Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction, chapter 1 and verse 7. Right? Remember in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning about verse 5, that this is what Solomon asked for, wisdom. All right, so you got the wisest man that ever walked this earth outside of Jesus. Now, to understand wisdom a little bit more, I know our main study text is going to be in Proverbs chapter 1, but I want you to see this real quick here in chapter 2. Notice the language. Right, we're going to be good students of the Bible. We're going to note the language here. Begin in verse 1, chapter 2, my son. If, and then in verse 5, you see that if-then statement here. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Now, he's personifying wisdom here. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then, verse 5, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Right? Remember chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Right? So you start to tie these things together in the broader picture and understanding the language here. Right? And I want you to note that these are all words of action. Right? You're taking action. You're seeking the source. Right? And the source is God. It's what God provides. But you have to act, right? You got to be the one that is receiving and treasuring and making your ear attentive and inclining your heart and so on, right? So there's responsibility on your part, on our part, right? So let's see how to gain and maintain godly wisdom for our worthy walk, right? Remember Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. I think we can compare that statement to what we're going to see here. And so this is really, Proverbs 1, like you're going to see on the screen, is kind of a how-to, right? How to walk worthy. I don't know if my clicker gave up the ghost here, but John, I may need, no, there we go, we're good. Right, so this is the how-to, because when you read what you read in Ephesians 5, right, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, you know, a good question comes up, you know, well, how do we walk wise, right? And that's a great question. And I hope we ask that question continuously, right? Lord, how do I walk wise? Well, he gives us the game plan, the roadmap, if you will. So we're not left wondering, you know, well, how do I do that? Have you ever had someone come up and ask you for advice, kind of share your wisdom? Right, they're going through a problem, a dilemma, an issue, and they seek your wisdom in the matter. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? You know, in some ways, hey, they're trusting me. Maybe it's because of your past experience, your past failures, and then victory over that, or, you know, your knowledge in that area, right? And so you share that wisdom. You're helping them make wise decisions. Oh, I forgot I had this slide in here. Just real quick, just a reminder of what Proverbs is all about before we get into the text here, right? Just compilation of sayings intended to direct life. It's about choices and wisdom, gaining proper knowledge, directing our path and wisdom, and how to walk in the wisdom of the Lord. So just a little more background there in the book of Proverbs. But we do need to mention choices here for just a moment, because that's what Proverbs is all about. It's for guiding our daily walk. The choices we make many, many choices each and every day. Right? From the moment you open your eyes, you begin to make choices. Am I going to hit the snooze and sleep some more? Am I going to be lazy today? Right? Or if you got to work, go to work, you know, am I going to hit the snooze and be late again for work? Right? Or we're just making choices. You know, we're going to make spiritual choices all day. Right? I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to make that determination to glorify God with my life. Right? Am I going to, you know, begin my day with a prayer? Have I made the wise choice and set aside at least 10, 15 minutes to read the Word of God to get me started? Right? We're making choices. Right? Am I going to drive the speed limit? You know, all those kind of, we're making choices constantly in everything that we do, and we need to understand that each choice has a consequence. Even the small ones. Right? You say, you know, I'm not concerned about eating healthy today. Well, the consequence might be an upset stomach at the end of the day. Right? Or I'm going to skip doing exercise today. Well, now it's easier to skip it tomorrow. I'm going to skip reading the Bible today. Now it's a little easier to skip it tomorrow, and so on. And they all have consequences. We need to be aware of that. And then also, we need to be aware that God tells us, warns us about foolishness. And so we're going to kind of end this lesson here in just a little bit, looking at this text a little deeper. Verses 25 through 27 specifically, but you can look 25 through 33 in Proverbs chapter 1. And so we're reminded of the opposite of wisdom. And so we need to be mindful of this, right? It's someone who mocks sin, rejects teaching, someone that's just not teachable. You ever run across someone like that? They're frustrating, aren't they? I've met people that fit all three of those. Just extremely frustrating. You know, and foolishness just surrounds us, and many times it hides itself also behind the veil of knowledge. Right? So we got to be careful. Just like when we talked about this morning, that broad road that leads to destruction, right? And right after that, he warns about the wolves in sheep's clothing. Right? And so you can have individuals that have learned the language of the flock. And they can give off the appearance of safety. Same thing with fools, right? There are some people that are fools, but they can give off the air of being wise. And, you know, we need to be wise to that. So, but thankfully here, God gives us what wisdom is in our text. Verses 1 through 5 as the book of Proverbs begins, right? To know wisdom and instruction is to do the following. We're going to see three things here. Three things in our text, and this is where I kind of really started shuffling in my mind what my original lesson was, thinking about this. So three things here. Read it with me once again. Begin in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive, New King James says, to perceive the words of understanding and to receive the instruction of wisdom, right? And that's filled with three things there in verse 3, justice, judgment, equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. Right, so we see these three things here: perceive, receive, and there must be a willingness to learn. So let's kind of break that down. There's going to be our three main points here, and don't worry, they're not going to be long main points, but I do want to spend a little time here and look at these three in a little more detail. So number one, perceive or discern the words of understanding here in verse 2. When Paul says what he says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, right? So you're going to discern your method of walking. And without proper information, we cannot make wise decisions, right? So we need information here to help us in our decision-making process. It must begin and end with what God tells us, right? And so, I got to be asking that question, what does God have to say about this matter? And so if you would, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 real quick. And I wanted to look at this as an example, simply because we were talking about this in our Bible class in the annex this morning. And here's a great example. Right, here's a great example. So I'm asking the question, what does God have to say on whatever topic it is? Right, this is perceiving, discerning, words of understanding, right, what God has given us. And so here's a great example. So I'm reading this. Let's say I'm reading chapter 1, 1 Peter, verse 15, verse 16, and I see the words, "Be holy for I'm holy." What does that mean? Right, and if I'm going to understand properly and be a good student of the Bible, I'm going to look at the context here. Right, so he's telling me to be holy, so surely he's going to tell me the source of that on how to be holy. Well, number one, he's quoting Leviticus 11, verse 44, so good student, I'm going to go back there, I'm going to look at that, and that's all about sanitation law, and you're scratching your head, sanitation law? That doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. God has standards for how we are to live. And part of that is, it's going to keep you clean and healthy and safe, but also it's going to show the difference from you and the surrounding nations around you. Oh, so it does make a little bit more sense, but in the broader context, he's talking about the gospel in verse 12 that was preached to them, right? Given by the Holy Spirit. He's going to talk about obeying the truth in verse 22. He's going to talk about the gospel again in verse 25. And even in chapter 2 and verse 2, he's going to talk about the milk of the word. The context is the word. The Word of God, given by the Holy Spirit. That's the guidance. Right? So listen, God doesn't tell you how to be holy without telling you how to be holy. Right? I know that sounds kind of silly, but he tells you. We don't have to make it up on our own. Right? And so I'm going to be a good student of the Word, this first point here, and discern or perceive the words of understanding back in Proverbs. That's one of the things that Solomon's trying to get across here, right? In other words, make informed decisions. if it wasn't for my dumb mistakes, I wouldn't have many sermon illustrations, so I'll give you another one. I thought about this when I was thinking about this, making informed decisions. Well, a few days ago, my daughter called and said her sink was leaking. I'm a plumber in my part-time. Sure, I'll go over there and look at that. And so I go over there. Yeah, it's leaking, and I figure it out. It's at the drain basket. I was like, hey, I did one of these like 10 years ago. That's easy. That's easy. I don't do that. So I took it all apart and went to Lowe's, got a new one. They're really cheap, $12. Yeah, I can do this. Right? And I put it all together, and I put it in there and do the test of the water. Is it still leaking? It's still leaking, right? I'm like, that's easy. There's no way this should be leaking. I did it perfectly. And I was like, well, I'll swallow my pride and get on YouTube. YouTube's the answer. And look up that, and it took 10 seconds in the video. He says, all right, take your plumbing putty and put it around. I go, oh, I forgot the plumbing putty. Right? You know, so if I would have just done that first, then I had to go back to Lowe's, get the plumbing putty. And, you know, so I thought just a great example of just seek the wisdom of somebody else, ask a question. You don't have to do it all on your own and make informed decisions, right? And if you ever, you know, I like messing with cars. If you ever, like, replaced five things because you're sure that was it, when it was something else, you know, if you would have just asked somebody, and you would have saved yourself a lot of time and money. Make informed decisions, I think, is a good way to end that point here. Number two of our 3 points here, receive an instruction in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. So the Lord is offering us instruction. And then you see on the screen here, 3 things we are to receive for wise behavior. Justice, right, to receive what is right. Judgment, right, that comes from experience. And then equity, I think this is all about common sense. You know, it's one thing to have a good source of knowledge and information and guidance, and it's a whole other to seek that to actually guide you, right? You can't force somebody to learn, right? If anyone here, if you ever did any teaching, you'd be the perfect teacher. And you can't force people to learn, right? There has to be willingness on their part to take that information and then apply it, right? That's just human nature. And I think also here, this is where humility is key, right? A humble state of mind says, I don't know everything, right? A humble mind says, I simply cannot rely on self. A humble mind, you know, says, I need the guidance of God. Right, so I think humility is key in this, in receiving instruction. We got to be people that are willing to learn. Right, I want to know more. Lord, tell me what it is you want me to know. And you know what? I'm going to be a good student of the Bible, and I want to receive instruction. If you're not teachable, there's going to be consequences of that. I think the desire is what matters. It doesn't have anything to do with your education level, right? It doesn't mean that you have to have a PhD in New Testament Greek or anything like that, right? You got a desire to learn, right? You have that good soil. You know, I want to learn. And I think that's important, receiving instruction. All right, number 3, finally here. And it's somewhat of an extension of the previous point, a willingness to learn in verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. Right? There has to be, this is critical, a willingness to learn. And again, humility is key. You know, stop being a know-it-all. Right? And there's a reason, you know, people who are know-it-alls, right? You got any of those folks in your life or in your past? You run across someone as a know-it-all. There's a reason they're annoying, right? Listen, you know, understand that there has to be this willingness to learn, right? And there's a consequence for not willing to learn. You don't know it all. You haven't maxed out on the wisdom of God. You haven't got Satan whooped, where you don't need to take in any more instruction. Well, I've been a Christian for 40 years, I know what I'm doing. Hey, you're going to put yourself in trouble with that mindset. We can always learn more. Constantly, till the day we die, we need to be learning, because there's absolute consequences to go it alone on spiritual matters. And so I want to end with this. This is kind of something very interesting we see here in Proverbs chapter 1 before we have our conclusion. And Solomon here uses what's called a chiasm. And this is a literary device. You actually, if you're looking, here's an interesting study. When you get home, I want you to Google search, you know, chiasms in the Bible. There's over 200 well-defined chiasms. And there's over 1,000. They're not as formed completely, but they're there. But it's a literary device that's used throughout Scripture. And if you want to go to another level of your study, start finding them. It's very simple, similar to that Hebrewism we talked about in Philippians chapter 4. Everybody says the God of peace and the peace of God. He's making a play on the words, and he's telling you to pay attention to what's going on in the middle. It's very similar to that. What you see here is in verses 25 through 28, or rather 25 through 27, your first and your last line are going to be the same or similar. Your second and second last can be similar, right? Third to last. You know, it depends how big the chiasm is. And then the point is, what the writer's doing is, you know, because they didn't have a highlighter when they're writing, they're not using a different font and making it bold and underlining it. This is kind of saying, hey, this is my key point. All right, so it's a wonderful, neat way in your Bible to highlight an important point in all this. And so we see that here. And what we're going to see in verse 25, now let me just read 25 through 7. I've got it on the screen here. Because you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Right? And so this is what we see in the Hebrew language there, a chiasm, and he's making a point. And so verse 27 is the key here. Terror comes upon those who do not seek the counsel of God. They're not going to accept reproof, right? That they hate the knowledge that God offers, right? They're fools, right? That's why that word translates so well into English as evil. They despise the knowledge of God. Listen, let that never be a description of any of us. Because then we're going to live in fear. Because consequences are coming. Let that never be a description of anybody here. And so with that, he gives his conclusion here, if you will. We're going to give our conclusion for Proverbs chapter 1. Listen, you know, the question becomes, will you not accept what God is offering? Remember our sermon this morning, the whole point in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7, is what we do with the words of Jesus. Right? And that's even how he ends his sermon. You know, the wise man is likened to the man who builds his house on the rock, and the rock is the words of Jesus, or the foolish man. What does he do, foolish man? Well, he builds his house upon the sand. He's not going to build his house on the words of Jesus. So in a very similar way, and that's why I had this passage in mind to do a sermon this evening to kind of extend a little bit what we're looking at this morning. What we do with the words of God. You have a God that loves you, that desires to lead you, but there has to be a willingness on our part to discern and receive his instructions. And so we remember here that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, God promises us that it is a gift that he offers, his knowledge, his guidance. And we're told that, you know, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So what are you going to do with the words of Jesus is the question we're going to end with this evening. If you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, listen, that's the command of Jesus, right? You need to put on Christ in baptism. That's the call for you if you haven't done that. You're doing that with a responsive faith, right? You're going to love God. You're going to choose God. You're going to love God. You're repenting of your sins, confess him before man and reenact his death, burial, resurrection, water. That's the words of Jesus. Well, you know, what are you going to do with that? Or maybe you've done that and you admit, hey, I've been walking foolishly. I've separated myself from God, and I'm ready to come back and be reconciled. You know, what are you going to do with the words of Jesus? He desires you to come back. And if you're here this evening and you need any help, you need any encouragement, any prayers, whatever it might be, let us show you the love of God and help you in that. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.